The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you for that. You know, I was amazed. I was preaching down in Florida, and there was several pastors that came, and I said, well, how'd you hear about it? And they said, oh, Twitter. You advertised it the morning of you coming down, and they follow me, I guess, on that social media thing that I do there. And, you know, it's amazing how God can use, and that's one of the reasons we're doing that sharing, ministrysharing.com, to be able to take the opportunities to use the things, the tools, and they are tools that God gives us today, I think is a wonderful thing, to be able to use them the right way and to be able to help people. Now, let's go back to Joshua chapter 24 and look at verse 15, where the Bible says, now, read it for reiteration's sake. The Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then Joshua makes a very clear statement. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as we talk tonight about investing as a family, I want us to understand here Joshua is speaking. He's speaking for everyone that's involved living in his household. And he says, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every single person that lives in the house has a crucial part making sure that the puzzle fits together in a good fashion. Now, we understand this, that if you have children that cooperate, it's good. If you have family faith, it's good. If there is no problems in the home between mom and dad where, you know, they're getting along, they're not fussing or fighting, hey, that's pretty good. But everybody has to work at it. Everybody has to work at it. If we're going to have good harmony in the home, everybody has to be a vital part of that. Now, that means this. That means we work at keeping our hearts right towards God and right towards each other. You'd be amazed at how many families break up because of arguments. You'd be amazed at how many families break up because there is an emotional outburst that nobody gets a grip on. You'd be amazed at how many families get mad at each other because somebody said something and they never made it right with each other. And so because of that, they stay mad at each other for years upon years upon years. And then all of a sudden, you find out that they tragically break apart. So what I want to do is I want to give some tips tonight, just practical tips on how you can invest as a family. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says this, says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, we understand this. We have to work on keeping that heart. We have to work on guarding it. When it's talking about to keep thy heart with all diligence, what it's talking about is walking around, guarding the heart, so that things do not turn out the way they should not turn out. Why? Because out of it are the issues, the same word for decisions, out of it are the decisions or the issues of life. So how do we do that? Statement number one, invest time in God's word. Invest time in God's word. You know, the Bible will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Bible. So invest time in God's word. Make sure that you spend time walking with God. Whenever I find somebody that is having great difficulty and I start digging deeper to find out how their walk is with God, most of the time you find out that they do not have a consistent walk with God. All right? So make sure that there is a consistency. Now, I'm talking about teenagers tonight. I'm talking about children tonight. I'm talking about moms and dads tonight. Each one of us, you cannot rely on your parents to walk with God for you. Those of you that are newly married, you can't rely on your husband to walk with God for you. You cannot rely on your wife to walk with God for you. Do we understand that when a person is not walking with God, they cannot walk in the Spirit of God? If they're not walking in the Spirit of God, they're walking in that which is the power of the flesh. When a person is walking in the power of the flesh, they're going to get the benefits in a very wrong way that the flesh will dish out. All right? And so we understand over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of a full age. Listen to it now. Even those, it says, who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Now, wait a minute. What does that have to do with the Word of God? As the Word of God goes in, it makes us mature. It helps us to be able to render good judgments. If we do not take the Word of God in on a consistent basis, what takes place is we're not rendering good judgments, because here's what we're doing. We're making our decisions based on what we know, our opinions, our influence. And by the way, if you have secularism that's being taught to you and poured into you over and over and over and over again, and you do not allow the Word of God to have preeminence in your thought life, here's what you're going to do. You're going to always be making wrong decisions. The Word of God is what we need to be able to take into us over and over again. So how can we do that? Well, read it prayerfully. When you open your Bible, read it prayerfully. Take time. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. You know how it is, and all of a sudden your wife wants you to communicate with her, and you come home and you're in a rush, things don't turn out too well, do they? You know how it is when all of a sudden your husband wants to communicate with you, and now all of a sudden you've got an agenda tonight, and you want to cover this, and he's not properly able to communicate with you. It doesn't turn out too well. You know how it is when you as a young person try to communicate with your parents and they're too busy to give you the time of day? You don't feel like it turns out too well. And it's that way in every single relationship. So it is with God. So when you read the Bible, read it prayerfully. Slow down. Turn the television off. Turn the radio off. Turn your neighbors off. Turn off all the things that are around you. Get alone with God. Open the Bible. Now, I realize this, that we live in such an adventurous society. Everything is active. Everything is run, run. Everything is accomplish, accomplish. You're going to have to slow down and let God speak to your heart. Now, we get so used to, people get so used to playing different games and then heavily involved in this sport and heavily involved in that activity and running this and running that. And especially, I think, those that live in city areas where the traffic is immensely hard to be able to drive in and keep the sanctity of the mind, okay? Can I tell you, there has to be a time when you slow down and let God speak to you. So what do? When you're reading your Bible, read it prayerfully. You ready? Read it consistently. You know, you might say, well, you know, at every meal I sit down to eat, I don't really rave on that meal. Because after all, the things I'm served, I don't really rave on that meal. It's just not a great thing. Yeah, but you need to eat in order to stay healthy. Every time you sit down to read the Bible, you might not rave about everything that you read in the Bible, but you need to eat. You need to feed yourself spiritually in order to maintain that which is a good, spiritual, healthy, individual life. All right? So what do? You read it consistently. Statement number next. Read it with anticipation. Anticipate God speaking to you. So when you read the Bible, look for things that God is teaching you. Look for things. Never lose the wow about the Bible. So when you're reading the Bible, allow God to show you some wows. Oftentimes, more than not, you know where I find the most wows when I read the Bible is in Proverbs. And I read it consistently, but can I tell you, when I see those statements that stand alone and they show you a great depth of truth, it's a wow to me. Now, can I say this? Can I say read it with anticipation? Read it with learning in mind. Get yourself a pen. Get yourself a piece of paper. Get yourself a notepad. Get yourself something to be able to maybe highlight. Get yourself a highlighter. Take notes in the flyleaf of your Bible and be able to go back and look at those things over and over and over again. When I first became a believer and somebody was teaching me how to learn to do things in the Bible, here's what the man suggested to me. He said, go through first off and read your Bible through. Second time you read it through, look for all of God's commandments. Get yourself a highlighter. And highlight every time you come across a commandment, highlight it. And then he said, next time you go through, get yourself a different highlighter and highlight all of the promises of God. He said, next time that you go through, then you go through and you highlight all of the requests that God makes. It's not a command, it's not a promise, it's a request. He said, the next time you go through, get yourself a different highlighter and go through and highlight everything that God hates. Everything that God hates, you highlight it. Now, you know what that did? For years and years, when I would go through my Bible and I would read through, I was looking for, what it does is it keeps your Bible alive. Keeps your Bible alive. Have you ever gotten this way where you're reading your Bible through and now it becomes boring? Now, don't raise your hand, but I promise you, everybody in here could raise your hand. You know, if you've been saved a long time and you're reading your Bible through, if you're not careful, you're one person that tries to read your Bible through once a year, twice a year, three times a year, five times a year, whatever the case may be, every single believer in this room could tell me the truth if you were going to speak it tonight, and you would say that, man, I have become a little bored in reading my Bible. You say, well, you know, preacher, we're not supposed to be that way. Well, you are human, and you are going to cross times in your life when reading the Bible does not reach the pinnacle point of a wow. But understand this, neither does taking vitamins. And for those that continue and on a consistent basis to take vitamins, their endurance level, I would dare say, is probably greater. Probably they don't get sick as much. I take vitamins. I take vitamins 3 or 4 times a day. I do. It's called vegetable juice. Comes in the form of the bean and it's crushed up. Now you'll get it by and by. But may I say, invest time in God's word. Statement number next. Here's what we do. Invest time in praying. Praying. You say, oh, preacher, these are basic things. Okay, let me ask you a question. They're so basic, here's the question, are you doing it? Are you doing it? See, when we get away from the basics, it was Coach Wooden that said this. He said, and he was a great, great coach, but he said this over and over again, back to the basics, back to the basics. That's why he became a great coach. Now, can I tell you, the reason that many of us are not being able to successfully go forward, for some reason, I believe it happens, and it happens to older people more than younger people, and that is this. The older people would do this. They think that now they have arrived, you know, and now we can coast. Well, it doesn't matter if I read my Bible today. Hey, it's okay. It doesn't matter if I pray today. It's okay. I mean, after all, I know the guidelines of Christianity, and I'm going to stay within the guidelines. But here's the problem. If you don't communicate with your Heavenly Father and you do not allow your Heavenly Father to be able to communicate with you, your relationship dries up. Now that your relationship is dry, so is the excitability about spiritual things. Now you don't want to come to church. Now it's like, okay, routine, got to go to church, not excited about it, but I got to go. But it's because the relationship, though it's still there, you can have a relationship with your wife, but it not be what it should be, and it's not enjoyable. You can have a relationship with your children, but it's not what it should be, And so it's not enjoyable. You can have a relationship with a friend, but it's not what it should be. And because of that, it's dry, it's mundane, it's boring, you know, and it's not what it should be. Now, I'm saying tonight, in dealing with investing as a family, we ought to invest time in God's Word. For those of you that have younger children, make God's Word exciting. When our kids were young, very young, we would act out different parts. And then characters of the Bible to teach them a truth. Then as they got a little bit older, we went to the John R. Rice Bible reading stories. And then we reverted over to Bill Rice, his brother, Bill Rice Bible reading stories. And then we went from there to teaching different principles of the Bible. Why should Christians do this? Why should Christians not do this? What is our role play in being believers that we're all saved in the household? What does God expect? And then we went from there as the kids got older, and I started assigning out things to those who were older in the household. And I said, okay, tonight I need you to be prepared to teach on this subject matter. And I would give them an assignment, okay? And then we would just do, you know, there's a variety of things. There's a variety of things. Very seldom will we ever have family devotions or what we would call family altar on Wednesday night or Sunday. Very seldom. Very seldom. I mean, because we went to church, the kids heard a great Bible lesson, or they heard some great preaching, and so we just went home. We were all tired, and we would go in, and we would simply have prayer together, and that would go ahead and bring a conclusion to the evening time, okay? And so when there was preaching time, many times we just come in and pray together, all right? Because they already got their Bible lesson for the evening. All right, but can I tell you, never get away from the personal time. The family altar time or the family devotional time ought to translate into a personal devotional time, a personal walk with God. And the kids only know to do that by the example that you do set for them. All right, so there's the investment in God's Word. There's the investment in praying. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. By the way, that is in the perpetual state of being. That means it's a continuance. What does that mean? That means that you continue to ask and ask and ask and ask. You continue to seek and seek and seek and seek, and you continue to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. Don't ever get the idea that you're asking God too many times. I don't know how many times I would pray for mom and daddy to get saved, and I wouldn't pray that one time a day. I wouldn't pray that two times a day. I mean, I would pray that over and over. Dear God, please save mama. Dear God, please save daddy. God, before my brothers got saved, please save my brothers. I don't want them to burn in hell. God, would you please do that? And I would pray as I was walking along, as I was driving down the road, every time I'd eat, every time that I would do things, I'd pray, dear God, please, God, would you please, God, please, would you please, God. It was asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And now it's different. We pray for our kids, yes, but now I pray for wisdom. Almost as much as I pray for mom and daddy to get saved. I pray for God's power almost as much. I mean, it's over and 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 over again. Why? Because you have not because you ask not. All right? And so the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And the Bible says, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Then over, and I love this verse, over in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So you call unto him, you ask him, and you ask him continually. All right? So, you know, if I talk to you, we call that communication. When I talk to God, we call it prayer. All right? So there's that communication from me to God. God's communicating to me through the Word of God. All right? I need Him every day of my life. I need to show Him that I need Him every day of my life. I need to tell Him how much I love Him every day of my life. I need to tell Him how thankful I am for what He has done for me every single day of my life. I need to be talking to God about other people that have needs in their life. Statement number one, you invest time in God's Word. You invest time in praying. Statement number three, invest time in hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Invest time in hearing it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love to preach and I love to teach, but I also love to hear other people teach and preach. I look forward. I had the privilege to preach a week before last in Kentucky, and J.C. House was there. And I said, I want you to check your calendar, because I've got a missions conference coming up. You've not been with us in a couple of conferences or whatever. I want you to come back. Will you come back? And he said, oh, yeah. And right about that time, a young man came up, had the same date. And he said, Dr. House, he said, would you come preach my missions? Same date. And he, Brother House said, well, he said, let me get back with you. And he turned to me after the young man walked away, and he said, you really want me? I said, well, yeah, I want you. That's why I asked you. And he said, well, I always go with the men that I know and love the most. And he said, so yeah, I'll come. Now, wait a minute. There's relationship because of communication. You want to build a relationship with someone, you have to communicate with them. And that's the way it is with our Father. And so there has to be the investment of in hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. As you hear preaching and teaching about God, what it does is it transforms us. Book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's what takes place. We're not supposed to be conformed by the world or to the world, but we will be conformed to the world if we do not spend time in God's Word and letting Him transform us. The more that He transforms us, the more we want to be like He is. The more we want to be like He is, the less we want to practice fleshly activities. All right? And so, how do we do that? Well, hear preaching often. Come to church as often as you can. Come to church as often as you can. Oh, you say, preacher, I just don't get things out of church like I used to. Well, that's not the Lord's fault. That's not His fault. Well, you know, I'm just not interested in spiritual things like I used to be. Well, get unbackslidden, get close to God, let God work in your life, and you'll get excited again. If you stay away from the fire long enough, you will get cold. If you stay away from the closeness of God and allow the warmth of the Holy Spirit to work inside of you long enough, then it does become cold to you. If you want to have a good relationship with someone, you have to communicate. If you want to have a good relationship with God, you have to purposely stay close to Him. All right, so hear preaching often. Hear preaching from the same, if you would, perspective. You know, don't get confused. Don't go run into somebody that's teaching you that this doctrine means this and it's some outlandish, wild thing. Before you know it, you're going to get tripped up. You know why? Because some people are great orators and are great convincers. So be sure that you stay with those that have sound doctrine. Okay? Statement number next. Hear preaching with an expectation. You know, just like we said about that Bible, when you come to church, look for something. Look for something. Look for something that God has for you. Write it down. Underscore it. Circle it real good. Put a post-it note in your Bible. And write some stuff on that post-it note and slip it to the front of your Bible and transfer it to the leaf of your Bible so that every time you open your Bible, it hits you right between the eyes. okay? I'm saying hear preaching with an expectation. Hear preaching with the realization that it's not just a message. It is meant to help change you. It is not, see, preaching is general, but the Holy Ghost makes it personal. So when it becomes personal, take it for granted that became personal because God put it in your lap. I don't know how many times I'll preach something and I might have a man or a woman or even a teenager would come up to me and say, "You meant that for me?" I said, "Well, if you were sitting there, I meant it for everyone. But if it hits you, it's because God put it in your lap. Let God be the one." And by the way, don't get mad at God. "I can't believe God did that. I can't believe he put it in my lap that way." Well, what are you going to do, move your lap? No offense, Brother Lap. But it's important that you understand that a person will allow God to be able to do that. Statement number next, you ready? Invest time in Christian fellowship. You know, the people that complain the most that says, "I don't have any friends. Preacher, I just don't know what to do. I just don't have any friends." Most of the time, the people that complain about stuff like that are the ones that's the first ones out the door. If you want to have friends, stay around. Look, if you want to have friends, go out into the lobby, stand there. Look pitiful if you want to. That might help. But stand there and put your hand out. Not this way, this way. And when people come by, let them shake your hand. Let them shake your hand. Go up to somebody and say, "Hey, can I talk to you?" If they say, "No, I'm in a hurry." "Okay. Can I talk to you?" "Oh, I'm in a hurry." "Can I talk to you?" "No, I'm in a hurry." If you ask enough people, somebody's going to say, "Man, I'd love to talk to you." Then you're going to wish you never asked them. We had a lady in our church when I was pastoring in Tennessee. I knew this. I knew this to be true. I knew it. Now, she's in heaven right now, so she cannot get me. But I knew for sure if I went up to this dear lady in church and I asked her this question, I'm going to be there for like ever. If I went up to her and I said, "Sister so-and-so, how are you doing?" She would tell me how she was doing. And it would go on, I'm telling you, forever. I remember one time I went up to her and I said, you don't look like you're feeling well. You're not smiling. Is everything all right?" "Oh, preacher, there's nothing right." "Really?" And then I made the mistake. "What's not right?" And she said, "Sit down." Now, when a church member tells the preacher to sit down, you know it's going to be a lengthy conversation. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand that we ought to invest in Christian fellowship. Here's what David said. David said this in Psalm 122 and in verse 1. He says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up into," he was getting into it, wasn't he? "Into the house of God." All right, so find people that are Christian like-minded. Look, do this sometime. Do this sometime. Talk to people. Do that sometime. Go up to somebody and say, "Look, this coming Sunday night, could we go down to Brahms? That way I get to know you a little bit. We'll go Dutch." Now, you might have to explain to them what Dutch is. It's not a short man running around. Dutch. Saint Jomhung came from the Thailand. And I told Saint, I said, "Hey, let's go Dutch." So we went out to eat, and he said, "When's he going to show up?" I said, "Who?" He said, "Dutch." I said, "Dutch is not coming to eat with us." He said, "Well, you said that we were going to go out, and we were going to go out Dutch." I said, "I didn't say we were going to go out and eat with Dutch. I said, we're going to go out Dutch." He said, "What is that?" I said, "That means you pay for your own, and I pay for my own." He said, "If I knew that, I wouldn't have came." All right, now, so fellowship with people. Just say this. Hey, look, next Sunday night, let's go down to Sweet Frog. That's an ice cream place. You know, say, hey, look, next Sunday night, let's do this. Hey, let's do this. Let's go to McDonald's. Let's get a Coke, kind of sit there and just kind of chew the fat. Fellowship. Okay? All right? And so here's what we understand. Fellowship with like-minded Christians. Statement number next. A fellowship, the majority of the time, in a positive, neutral environment. Don't let things turn negative.
Amen.
By the way, small-minded people always talk about people. Average-minded people always migrate to things. But people that have great minds always talk about ideas, purposes, directions, excitability, things they found in the Word of God. You know, don't be one of these small-minded people. By the way, when you're with somebody and they start talking bad about somebody else, then you know you've spent too much time with them. It's time to bring it to a close. You know, they're getting in an area that it's going to drag you through the mud. You don't need to be drugged through the mud. You don't need to start thinking bad about someone else. And until they opened your mouth, you didn't think anything bad about that person. Normally, fleshly-minded people talk about people. All right, so what do you do? Here's what you do. Fellowship, but keep it positive. And you say, preacher, I don't have anything positive going on in my life. You would if you'd read your Bible and pray. You'd be amazed at what God could do positively in your life. Statement number next. Fellowship with many, never exclusively. Familiarity does breed contentment. Don't just have one or two friends. Don't do that. Spread yourself out. By the way, we got a good church family. Get to know everybody. How many of you have gotten to know, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have gotten to know some of the new college students that are here? How many of you have spent some time with them? They're away from their family? Probably if you said this, hey, what would it take for me to be able to take you out? Now, you know, of course, if they live in the dorms, they're going to fill out some forms and stuff like that. So plan it. Don't get them in trouble, you know, but plan it a little bit ahead of time. And say, look, this, you know, maybe go to them tonight. Say, hey, look, Sunday night, give them time to get their permissions in. Sunday night, would you like to go out? And we're going to go for ice cream. Would you like to go? I'd like to take you out and buy you a suit. Would that be okay? I'd like to give you a gift Sunday night after church, chewing gum. Can you accept it? Now it's getting down to ridiculous, but I'm saying this. Here's the thing. If you want to get to know someone, you have got to enter into their life. You have to. You cannot sit on your side of the church and say, man, I've always wanted to get to know them. I've always wanted to get to know them. Man, I'd love to get to know them. And you'll sit there for the next 20 years. They'll sit there for the next 20 years. You'll grow old and gray and toothless together. And you will never get to know each other. Now, it can't be that way. I mean, nothing wrong with some of you ladies coming together and going shopping, taking your husband's credit card, and him wise enough to say, I'm going to put a limit on it. Honey, you got $2 today, that's it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying fellowship with many. Fellowship with many. Statement number next, okay? We as individuals make the difference in our homes. Watch this. Fellowship with your kids. Fellowship with your kids. Hey, I got to run down to the gas station, get some gas. Why don't you go with me? Oh, but Dad, I'm busy. No, no, no. Never be too busy when Dad gives you an invitation.
Right.
You might not get him often.
Right.
He's working. He's tired. He comes home late at night. He's beat. Okay? Besides, if you can get him to the gas station, you might get a free Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
All right? And so, but when Mom says, hey, listen, I need to run over here and pick up something, you ought to be the first one as a teenager who says, can I go? me. Can I go? I want to go with you. Is that okay? Don't run from your parents. One day you will not have them. Or one day they're going to get so old they cannot do it anymore. So enjoy your parents while you have your parents. Enjoy being around them. Enjoy spending time with them. Enjoy getting the wisdom from them that you do not presently have. Okay? So we as individuals make the difference inside of the homes. Okay? I need to hurry. Here it is. Invest time in Christian service. Invest time in Christian service. I'm talking about as a family. Here's what Joshua said. I'm going to restate it. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So serve God together. Serve God to do things together. Volunteers say, hey, look, you know, go to Brother Craig and say, I can't clean the bathrooms all the time. I can't do that. But this Saturday, my family and I, we'd like to help out by doing it at least one Saturday. Would that be okay? I don't think he's going to say no. You don't have to work on a bus route all the time, perhaps, but maybe you could get with the bus captain and say, I'd like to take my family out on your bus route. Would that be okay if I try that one Saturday? That's serving the Lord together. Get Brother Palmore and say, you know, we're really trying. We want to sing together as a family. We're going to try it. You know, now once you say that, don't back out. But step in and try to do some things as a family. You know, come up to the church and say, hey, look, is there anything that I can do? Now, you might want to be careful if you say anything. But is there anything that I can do? There's always ways to serve God in a going church. All right? Do things. Go out and invite people to come as a family. Go down to a rescue mission and serve as a family. Go to one of our nursing homes. See Brother Kavanaugh, if you will, or see Brother Butler, and say, look, can we go to one of the nursing homes on Saturday evening and just love some people? Decide that you're going to do some things together as a family. Go down when you hear about somebody's in the hospital. Take your family down there. Take your family. If your family sings, go in the hospital room and sing. Learn to serve together as a family. You know, oftentimes when we get together as a family, I'll look at the children and I'll say, okay, come on over here go ahead and sing. Just go ahead and sing. And they'll sing in a restaurant. They'll sing in different places and whatnot. Now why? Because it needs to be seen in our society that people can serve Jesus Christ and have fun doing it. You know, but invite other people. Invite somebody to go over. Some of you people, you play game boards and stuff like that. And that's fine. Some throw Frisbees. I saw just the other day a couple of our guys trying to play the Frisbee golf down here. I watched it for a few minutes. Then I realized that I needed to go. But go down there, you know. You know, you can go out walking together. You can do all sorts of stuff together. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive. You know, you can say, hey, look, let's have a family picnic. Your family, our family, family picnic, going to be fun. You bring this type of sandwich. We'll bring this type of sandwich. You bring these type of chips. We'll bring these type of chips. You bring this type of drink. We'll bring this type of drink. And let's just go have a family picnic together. It's going to be great. There's nothing wrong with getting to know other people. There's nothing wrong with getting to know other Christians. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't have bad people in our church. I believe that with all my heart. We got good people in our church. You know, and there's nothing wrong with getting to know other people and fellowshipping together and then serving God together. It's been amazing to me to watch, you know, 160, 170, 180 people coming out on soul winning on Saturday. That's a pretty large group. I would say that might be above the average, if average is average somewhere. You know, but here's what I'm finding out. The ones that are serving on bus routes, if we shut down their bus route, they'd be heartbroken. Because they love loving people. The ones that are out there on Sunday school routes and the ones that are investing their time, that's their life. That's who they are. And they love serving people, helping people. And by the way, many of them will come and they will invest their lives in someone else. What's that doing? That is helping other people to feel a part. I'd hate for somebody to come to our church and I'm done. I'd hate for somebody to come to our church and say, well, I tell you what, I don't like that church. Those people are a bunch of stuck-up snobs. I don't want that. And since we don't want that, don't look that way. You know, don't look like you're mad all the time. You know, I mean, from time to time, shake somebody's hand and smile. From time to time, go up to somebody and, man, it's great to see you. You know, I'm happy you're here. This is a wonderful joy. Man, just keep it up. All right? Now, I'm saying this. There are ways to invest as a family. And as you invest as a family, you get to see God do some neat things inside of the confines of your family as you're serving God together. Father, help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.